Chapter 82. Jellic wasn't the only one who watched in horror as the tanker capsized. Jordino was just climbing into the bullet when he heard a crashing sound behind him and turned to see the Dion turn turtle atop the yacht. He quickly sealed the rear hatch as the resulting wave barreled into the Ibn Battuta, carrying the submersible up and away from the dread ship. Jordino quickly fired up the diesel engines and motored toward the tanker. He thought anxiously of Pitt, who had waved at him from the bridge of the tanker just minutes before. The bridge was now far underwater, and all he could see was the cold, lifeless underbelly of the Israeli tanker. Ignoring the danger that the tanker might explode at any time, he raced along its near side. Surprisingly little debris had floated away when the ship turned over, and he was able to speed quickly down its length to search for bodies in the channel. He knew that Pitt was like a dolphin in the water. If he had somehow survived the capsizing, there was at least a chance that he had swum clear. Nearing the submerged bow, Jordino swung around and motored back close to the hull, either not knowing or caring that the timed explosives would detonate in less than 2 minutes. The waters ahead of him remained empty as he passed the tanker's midsection and approached the stern. With a heavy heart, he reluctantly considered the notion that his old friend had not made it off alive. Nudging the throttles higher, he started to turn away when he noticed a pair of ropes stretched over the hull. Oddly, the lines appeared to run from the ship's submerged port rail up the hull and over the keel, a short distance in front of the propeller. With a glimmer of hope in his eye, Jordino accelerated briskly, sweeping around the tanker's broad stern, which was now rising high into the air. Reaching the tanker's opposite side, he spotted the ropes dangling high from the keel, but the hull was otherwise empty. Then, barely 50 yards away in the water, he spotted two objects. Turning instantly, he raced closer, seeing with joy that it was Pitt towing an injured Laszlo away from the ship. Jordino sped in closer, then expertly reversed engines to quickly drift alongside. Pitt hoisted Laszlo onto a pontoon, then shouted at Jordino as the latter moved to open the hatch.
"No time," Pitt yelled. "Get us out of here!"
Jordino nodded, then waited until Pitt climbed aboard and wrapped an arm around Laszlo before accelerating. The two men were tossed and splashed as the bullet charged quickly ahead, bounding over the harbor waters. Jordino turned and sped toward the Galata Bridge, determining that it would provide the closest cover. The bullet was 100 yards shy of the bridge when a deep thump sounded across the channel. Though a portion of the explosive material had fallen to the seabed when the Dion capsized, nearly half of the fuel oil and most of the HMX remained lodged in the two forward storage tanks. But with the ship sinking by the bow, the flooded tanks were almost entirely underwater, greatly diluting the blast's impact. A quick series of successive thumps sounded as the timed fuses detonated, and then a huge explosion ripped open the tanker's hull. The concussion echoed across the hills and streets of Istanbul like a sonic boom. A fountain of white water blew from the tanker's underside, spraying chunks of steel and debris 100 feet into the air. The jagged chunks fell to earth across a quarter-mile swath, raining down in a deadly hail from the heavens. Yet the terrifying blast proved mostly benign. Due to the angle of the sinking tanker, the main force of the blast was centered ahead of it and toward the Bosphorus. Pitt's last-second course adjustment had diverted the impact away from shore and toward a wide patch of empty water. As the steel and debris splashed into the bay, a loud creak echoed from the tanker as the perforated section of hull gave way. The decimated bow broke free and promptly sank quickly to the channel bottom, while the remaining hull lingered on the surface a few moments before foundering. Bobbing beneath the span of the Galata Bridge, Jordino climbed out of the bullet's cabin to check on his passengers.
"Thanks for the lift," Pitt said as he attended to Laszlo. "You boys were cutting it a bit close there," Jordino replied.
"We got lucky. Maria Jellic wanted to use us for target practice on the starboard rail, so we hiked up the deck. Happened to find a pair of lines that had been lowered over the port side, and we were scrambling down them as the ship turned turtle. We managed to make it over the keel, then slid down the other side to avoid the yacht."
"You needn't have worried," Jordino said with a grin.
It got flattened like a pancake.
Any survivors?
Giordino shook his head.
Laszlo needs medical attention, Pitt said. We better get him to shore.
He and Giordino helped him inside the submersible, then they motored toward the southern shoreline.
That was some blast, Giordino said to Pitt. Could have been a lot worse.
Pitt simply nodded quietly, staring out the cockpit window. Ahead of them, the massive remains of the Israeli tanker rose up high by its stern. The vessel stood near vertical in an almost defiant manner before plunging beneath the waves with a rush. Somewhere not far across the strait, the twisted dreams of a renewed Ottoman dynasty sank with it.